Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This
is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops that quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
Time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Off your shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone. But that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from King was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned. And while Lenin read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. The day the music died, singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die."
Hello and welcome to Communities Live on this fine Thursday afternoon. Starting off with two songs there. Don McLean's American Pie, celebrating his 80th birthday today actually, and from a great film and a great soundtrack altogether, and Fiction Factory's Feels Like Heaven, since we didn't get a chance to play the song at the end of last week's show as we lost track of time a little bit. But anyways, I'm joined by our two fabulous guests.
Chris and Ali, how you doing?
I'm Bradley Middleton.
Oh, good, thank you. How are you both?
I'm all right, thank you. Been a bit hectic this past few weeks, this week, should I say, because had a few interviews to do this week. Other than that, all good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just plodding along, I guess. Brad, have you found your bass player yet?
No, not found any.
Still searching.
Looking. Yeah.
Have you got any like feelers out there? Have you put stuff on socials or
not like mega recently? Like I feel like I should do really just to try and get it out there.
So sorry, Brad. What is it you're actually looking for then?
So we're looking for a bass player and a singer at the minute.
Yeah. I didn't know you were in a band.
Well, still trying to get it together at the minute.
Right. So. Right. And what kind of music do you do with?
Well, we're still trying to sort of decide on what we want to do, but we're sort of thinking like Black Sabbath, sort of Alice in Chains, Nirvana, that sort of stuff.
Like heavy rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of genre. But if there are any bass players listening to the show this afternoon, put your interest in, and I'm sure Brad will happily speak to you about recruiting you.
Yeah.
So what sort of things have we got on the show today? I think we've got a lot to talk about.
I've got an interview with a singer called Ferrer. We're going to play that later on in the show. I also want to talk about Is there any upcoming films that's coming out that you want to see?
There's a few. I'd have to think of which one I'd like to see, like top of my list, because there's a few good ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of films, actually, we had the announcement for the second Simpsons movie coming out in 2027.
By the
time it comes out, it'll be 20 years since the first one.
Now, that is so long overdue, wasn't it?
It should have happened much sooner.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Simpsons, do you think the Simpsons will ever end? Or do you think... Because it's been one of those series that it's been going on for, what, nearly 30, 40 years now?
1989 was the first one, about 36 years.
Yeah. So it's just amazing how it still keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
And, I mean, 36 years is nothing to laugh about, is it? You know what I mean?
I've been going for years.
And it makes you wonder what we're going to do. I wonder what we're going to do with this second film. I mean,
yeah.
Do you think magic can happen twice, you think?
I'm not sure. I prefer the older seasons to the newer seasons, so I'm wondering if that'll be the case with the films, maybe.
There was a rumour going on a few years ago saying the Simpsons movie would be the last thing the Simpsons would do then and end, but I'm not sure if that'll still go ahead. But with the sequel, I'm not sure if they're going to follow on directly from the first film when they've just saved Springfield.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be a whole new, like, era.
But we're saying that, though, weren't it supposed to end last season when Tom Hanks played a part in it, I think? I think he played a part in the film in the series at the end. I don't know what episode it was, but apparently I heard rumours that it was supposed to end on that series, but we renewed it for a couple more.
I've heard rumours as well saying they'll only end if one of the major voice actors passes away as well, and then that's when they'll stop it.
I mean, what's your favourite Simpsons moment? I mean, you got to tell us what's your favourite.
My favourite's on the movie where, you know, the sinkhole thing in the sandpit.
Yeah.
And he jumps down, because so long, loses, middle fingers up.
Yeah. And there were clone at his head, I remember that part. What about you, Oliver? What's your favourite part?
There's a few, but I want to say, early on, actually, I think it's one of the first episodes. It was the Christmas episode in 89, or it was when they got the dog, when they got Santa's little helper for the first time. It started off such an iconic partnership and showed how iconic the family would be for years to come, and it made people laugh. It still makes people laugh now, and that's my favourite. It started it all off.
I mean, the one that I laughed at, and I mean, I really, I would cry with laughter after that, is the one where they were in Japan, and they had basically 1 million yen left at money to buy the tickets. And
don't know what that is in pound sterling.
Neither do I, mate. And he made a duck out of it, origami. He used origami on the million-pound yen, and the wind blew it away, and he said "do" in Japanese, you know. And after that, we had to go through a game show to try and win tickets back, a Japanese game show to try and win tickets back. It's that one, the funniest one I've seen.
I have just googled in current money, around a million Japanese yen's about $5,000.
Wow.
But I'm not sure what that would have been when that episode aired.
Yeah, it's but another one I liked was the swear jar when Homer Simpson at first gave him a £20 note at church, and he didn't need to give him a till.
I think it was meant to be like a $5 note or something like that, or something like smaller.
Bart said, "Homer, that was a 20," and he swore.
In church as well.
And then the next one was, he went bowling and he knocked 9 pins out at 10. And then he said, then that was another one. What else? He got stung by a bees. And then...
The doghouse as well.
The doghouse. And he stood on a nail. And then it said, "I'm not going to swear, but I am going to kick this doghouse down."
And then he eventually got a doghouse with the money from the swear jar. And he also, was it He also got some beer as well, didn't he? I'm pretty sure.
I think he deserved it after everything he's been through to make that doghouse.
But we can all agree right now, Homer Simpson is one of the best cartoon characters and sitcom characters as well.
Yes, definitely. And you know what? We're trying it with American Dad, we're trying it with Family Guy, but I mean, great on their own, but they're never going to beat Simpsons, are they?
No, I think Simpsons is still in the lead and quite possibly will be for a long time.
So, anyway, you've got another song ready?
Yes, we have. Brad was mentioning Black Sabbath earlier and what his band tend to base off. Would you like to introduce this song?
Yeah, this one's Iron Man by Black Sabbath.
Thank you.
Iron Man by Black Sabbath. Such an iconic riff, a proper heavy metal riff, isn't it? And I keep watching the live performance, actually, from Villa Park, and they had it on screen, on the big, where you could see Tony Iommi performing it, and you could see his hands. It works. Yeah. Can't stop watching that.
You know, I mean, I'm actually surprised with Ozzy Osbourne with the songs. I mean, because I know the man himself, but I've never ever, I couldn't say that I've actually listened to his songs. I was expecting more gothic, more screamo kind of music. You know, like what emos or goths listen to. I was expecting it to be more like that, but it's actually closer to a Bon Jovi, Kiss kind of
vibe.
I mean, I've listened to some of his songs, and I mean, I listened to Mr. Crowley live. That were fantastic, that one, at Villa Park. I've also listened to Shot of the Dark, and I mean, I'm just surprised, really, with him. And I'm surprised in a good way, because I've just started listening to him though, and now I'm a massive fan of his.
Yeah,
and but yeah, it was to say that he did that at Villa Park. I think. Do you think he knew that his time was up? Do you think?
I think he knew something was coming.
I mean, he did say he was scared to die on stage.
Yeah.
But I think they did it now sooner rather than later, so he got his last. At Villa Park, because of course he's a boyhood Aston Villa fan, so that's the best place for him that he could possibly perform.
Now, you see, he was another thing I didn't know about him. I didn't know he was born in Britain. I thought he was American. So that goes to show how much I actually know probably about Ozzy Osbourne.
Probably because he lived in America for a good few years. Yeah. I mean, if you've watched The Osbournes, it's entirely in America.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a great singer, great, and you know, he's going to be missed. I mean, I've got to say though, I mean, it's like I think all our legends are going there. It's like
point
everybody,
in life.
Yeah, it's like everybody that you grew up with, singer wise or actor wise, it's going to a point where we're losing all our legends. I mean, it's like Hulk Hogan, Ozzy Osbourne. Sean Connery, all them. It's like everyone you grew up with. It's you're never gonna get the same again.
No, I mean, definitely not.
I mean, you could. There's a lot of people that can imitate them, but you're never gonna get the same. Like Adam Lambert with Queen. I mean, he's a great singer.
He's good, but he's not quite there.
But he's not. He's no Freddie.
Yeah,
he's not a. He's not Freddie Mercury.
No, he's not. But Chris, what we're going to get to next on the show is you've got an interview, yes?
Yes, I've got an interview with a singer-songwriter called Farah. She's doing a school tour. More on that right now.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have singer-songwriter Farah. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Well, thank you for joining me today. So,
thank you.
I want to say, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We just came back from three shows for a school's tour, and it went really well today. So I have like adrenaline from the shows right now.
So we'll talk about a little bit more about that later on in the show. I want to get a bit of background. So tell us a bit about yourself.
So I am 18. I am still a high school student, so I'm actually graduating this year. So I'm finishing up my last year of school. And I'm a singer-songwriter born and raised from the Czech Republic. I've lived there my whole life. And I make music that kind of served as a therapeutic outlet for me all my life, and then decided to start releasing it in hopes that it could help other people. And yeah, that's kind of my goal mainly in music, is just to release music that some people may relate to and could help them.
And I want to ask you, Farah, I mean, who are your main influences? And also, if it was anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
I mean, my influence since I was little has always been my mom. I come from a very musical background, so that's kind of where it started. But my idol definitely since I was a little girl has been Ariana Grande. And then recently I've always been inspired by Madison Beer and Tate McRae. And I, like, a Madison Beer collab would be the dream. I think I would faint probably if that was to happen.
So, well, you never know. Who knows in the near future? And
exactly.
I want to say, I mean, how difficult is it to become a singer-songwriter? I mean, what advice would you give to our listeners who want to break into music, would you say?
I think the biggest thing is listening to your heart, making sure that what music you're putting out is coming from you and you really stand 100% by it. I really relate or like kind of go by the quote, if it feels right, don't question it. I think that that's been something that's really helped me kind of work in my career, because every time I've had doubts, I've kind of taken a step back and thought about it. But for new aspiring artists, just keep on working, keep on practicing, keep on putting stuff out, connecting with people, showing them who you are, who your personality is, because that's how people are going to connect.
And I want to ask you as well, I mean, do you feel that music has gotten easier to get into now that social media is more part of the thing now, because people use like TikTok or Facebook or YouTube and we're getting more music out of it. I mean, do you feel it's gotten easier now?
I think that's kind of, I feel like it's almost in a sense a 50-50 situation, because I think more people have access to it, which I think is great, because I think a lot more people are allowed to be creative and to kind of share their stories and their messages behind music. But then again, I do think also that it's created some difficulties in terms of how many artists there are on TikTok, but then again, you get to hear a load of new music, which I think is also great.
Yeah, I agree with you, and thank you for sharing that with me. I want to talk about your new single, which is called Rewind. So how long did that take to put together? Was it a long process, or did it come together quite quickly?
So actually, that song, me and my producer, Mate, we made it in like 3 days. It was a very, very quick process with this song. It kind of just happened that I had the lyrics and Mate felt very inspired to instantly figure out the song. And we were in the studio for 3 full days and got it done. And then there were just like some little changes and twitches. But it was kind of crazy how fast that song came around. I don't think we've ever made a song that fast before. So this one felt very natural, I think.
And I mean, I want to ask you as well. I mean, how difficult is it to find that sound that you're looking for? I mean, are you still looking right now, or have you found what you're looking for?
I think if you were to ask me a couple months back, I would have said that I'm still looking. But with this new era that we're going into with the second album and prepping and planning for that, I really feel like I have found my voice, because I think for me, what I was struggling with, I wrote a lot of sad music, obviously, because it was therapeutic and it was an outlet for me. Sure. But there are still kind of that like dance aspect that I want to add into it as well. So it's just finding the perfect balance of those two. But recently, especially after touring this year, et cetera, I've just really found what I love to do and the kind of sound that I feel the most confident in, which I think is the most important.
I mean, you just mentioned a second album, so can you tell us a bit more about that, or is it all secretive at the moment?
It's quite secretive, mainly also because we're in like the drafting process and putting it all together right now. But yeah, Deja Vu and Rewind are the first two singles off of it. We're kind of packing onto that new idea or like new era, but it's kind of, the album is going to be very inspired by me turning 18 and by kind of just being able to be more honest and raw in what I'm writing about. So yeah, I'm very excited for it.
Well, we can't wait for you, Farrah. Can't wait for that. And so watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to say you are currently on tour as well. So you're doing a schools tour. So will you be coming to Sheffield at any point?
That I have no idea. Actually, I think we were around Sheffield, but it's not a specific show in Sheffield. But I know that, honestly, I don't know. I have no clue. We keep on traveling and I'm getting confused where I am some of the times. But no, it's been really great. We actually were yesterday in Newcastle and the day before in Birmingham. And today we just drove over to Edinburgh. So we're quite close.
And how can people get a copy of your single? I mean, is there digital? I mean, there will be digital copies, but is there any physical copies that people can get as well?
Not right now. I think we definitely want to work on it. I love the look of vinyls. I'm a vinyl collector, so I would love to, make as many vinyls as possible. That would be so much fun. The current only like physical copy that has something of Rewind is my merch that we just launched last weekend. But right now it's just mainly digital, but it's up on all platforms, which I'm really happy about because it gets to go to more fans than usual.
So I want to talk also about what's next for Theremin. So you're currently in the making of a second album. Have you got any ideas of where you want to go after the second album?
I would love to do a tour of my own. That would be crazy. I would love to do that after that album comes out. My biggest thing right now is to graduate in May of 2026. And then after all of that, I'd love to be on tour. I think touring is so special just because you get to connect with those fans and really get inspired by them as well. I think touring is probably number one on my list after the album.
So watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to say, how can people follow you on social media? Do you have like X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, people can follow you on?
So I have a Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all of the sorts. I have a link tree that has all of my social media as well as my website with my store, et cetera, which I could, of course, send to you as well. I have a bunch of socials, and my goal always is anytime a fan reaches out, I try to respond just because I love hearing from people. So,
Ferret, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for your time. I've got one more question for you. What would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now?
I would love to say to them to follow their dreams, follow what they love to do, what they're passionate about. And if they like my music, to reach out. I'd love to hear from them, and hopefully I'll see them very soon.
Ferret, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You don't say a word, but I feel it. Your eyes trace me like it's a sign. It's almost sweet, but really it's poison. I can't believe that I've been so blind. Made me doubt just so you could stay in charge. And wonder why I'm not the same. But your love's a loaded gun pointed at me. And I'm tired of standing in your rain. Feeling the stakes get higher. Suddenly now what's the matter? Can't play this charade for longer. No longer, oh. I told you this isn't worth it. Chosen, but I'm sure I'll love you anyway. How am I breath when you're near? We dance around it, it's fine. You pull some shit while you leave. You'll come back and rewind. I know that you like what I'm doing. Stuck on me like a tattoo. Watching me anywhere I go, it's like you're monitoring my every move. Feeling the stakes get higher. Suddenly, now what's the matter? Can't play the charade for longer. No longer, oh. I told you this isn't worth it. Your words cut deep as they're chosen, but I'm sure I'll love you anyway. Some shit while you leave.
That was Thera and Rewind with the interview played there with Chris. Good interview.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I want to say thank you to Thera as well, and a great track as well. So thank you, Thera, for letting me play the track and also doing the interview with me. So we've got another topic that we want to talk about now. Are you fans of Call of Duty?
The older ones specifically. Yeah.
Not so much now, but I used to play the older games. I mean, I don't dislike the series now, but I still pay attention to it.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, they've been releasing one every year, which I think is a bit too much now.
Yeah.
I think we need to give it, we need to have a little break, I think. Just, even if they just miss it for a year or so.
Like every couple of years, maybe, like once every 2 years, that might be once every a bit better.
Yeah. Because I think that it's getting something called Call of Duty fatigue.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's just the same game, but just a new lick of paint, really. Do you know what I mean? And from what I've seen of Black Ops 7, I mean,
there was a conference last night.
There was. It's about the multiplayer, but I'll be honest with you, I don't really play much multiplayer. I'm more for the single player. The
story modes, That's
I'm more for the campaign and stuff like that.
Same.
But it's, I mean, Black Ops 6, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't brilliant. Modern Warfare 3, as in the 2022 version, what was it? No, it's a 2023, weren't it? Is it 23 or is it 24?
Around there.
Something like that, yeah. I can't remember exactly.
I think it was 2023, actually. And they made it in around 16 months. It just didn't work, did it?
Mm.
It just felt like basically what they had done was take away Warzone and sliced it into levels.
Yeah.
That's what we've done.
It was Modern Warfare 3 you're after talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 2023.
It was 2023.
Just to confirm.
Which is the new one, not the older one, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it just felt so rushed. It felt so rushed. And, I mean, I've got to say Modern Warfare 2019 was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I actually liked that one. Mm. But you're never going to beat the originals. I mean, the best one by far is Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
And that's the original Modern Warfare.
The first Modern Warfare.
And it's just
not been beaten since. I mean, Modern Warfare 2 was quite good as well, but the first one still stands above all
else. Very memorable.
But I mean, let's just say that you wanted to play Call of Duty, and hopefully people might be listening to this, who knows. Where would you like to see them set the next Call of Duty? Because, I mean, World War's done to death. Modern Warfare's done to death.
And
the future's been done to death. So where would you like to be set?
I'd like, they did slightly touch on the Vietnam during the first Black Ops game, which I'd like to see more.
That'd be amazing, actually.
Or more First World War setting. Like, for me, Battlefield is the only one that's done it really good for a First World War
setting. Battlefield 1 was good as well.
Yeah. Don't you think the World War setting has been done to death?
The Second World War, I think, has been done to death. But not as much the First World War.
I mean, I was looking forward to Call of Duty Vanguard, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And I mean, they had the right idea, but the right setting, the right idea, but we just didn't have the time.
Yeah.
We just only had, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
We only had a 2 year development time. And to make a game like Call of Duty, it's just not. You need at least 4 or 5 years.
I mean, it's always a big game when it comes to downloading. It's can't give you the exact amount of like gigabytes it is, but it's always a big game to download. It takes a lot of storage up. So, and to do that in a year, I don't know how they pull it off.
Yeah, but saying that, it's not just Call of Duty though. It's like EA Sports with FIFA and Madden and stuff like that. I mean,
WWE 2K as well.
WWE 2K.
One every year.
I mean, it's like they're basically saying like they're trying to improve it, and they're always saying like it's a step in the right direction. Yeah, it might be a step in the right direction, but you're never actually going to get there, are you?
With EAFC, I think As someone who's been a FIFA player for years, it's mostly the same. Well, you know, it's a game of football and the onlines, but they had, you know, they had new teams in, occasionally a new league.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of years ago they added the women's league and the women's internationals, which was great.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's always like the same one. Of course, they have to sort all the transfers out as well.
Sure.
Over.
But I mean, also, I think it's got some huge competition, Call of Duty, this year with Battlefield 6. Now,
the beta was great, by the way.
It was. I loved it.
Well, you know what? I'm gutted because I've actually missed it.
Oh, did you?
I did. I was looking out for it. I was at the tomb. I was at the van.
Right.
And I missed it completely, so I couldn't play it.
It was really good.
Is it a lot better than Battlefield 2042?
I only played a little bit of it, but from what I remember, I enjoyed Battlefield 6 more than 2042.
I enjoyed it a lot more. Yeah. This is probably going to get me back into playing Battlefield.
Well, you know what? I was actually hoping there was going to be a campaign for Battlefield 2042.
But there weren't, were there?
I was so disappointed with it. It's like they did it with... it's like Black Ops 4. I mean, they took the story out.
That was multiplayer only, wasn't it?
Yeah. They took the story out and focused it on Battle Royale. And Battle Royale is a free-to-play game. Fortnite's done it free-to-play.
Mm.
So, basically, it's an easy mode that people can download, that they can do.
Yeah.
And basically, you just took out the campaign, and it's like you've done a lot less work, and you still want to charge them £60 for it.
Hmm.
But I heard rumour wise now that games might go up to £80. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
For me, it's kind of like it's almost like it discourages people to actually buy a game and play it.
In a cost of living crisis, doesn't help at all.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Because there's millions who want to play whichever game comes out, but I mean, £80 is a bit excessive, I think. The only game I can see being reasonable for £80 is Grand Theft Auto 6 next year.
Possibly.
Since it's the most anticipated game in history, possibly, and from the trailers, it's going to be huge.
Well, do you know how much it is? I mean, it's not a definite figure, but I've heard rumour-wise how much it's going to cost. I mean, how much do you think it would cost to make that kind of game, development-wise?
I don't really know. I don't really know how much people tend to spend on developing games, really, so I don't really know.
This might come into a budget of, like, you know, high-end films like the Marvel films and the Star Wars films. It might get to, like, 100 millions.
Well, let's just say that if you're thinking 100 millions, right? Well, let's try 1.5 billion.
Okay.
1.5 billion.
Is that how much it made to make the game?
To make the game, apparently, yeah. But, I mean, it's not set in stone, but it's a rumour.
Rumour, yeah.
But apparently, it's like the new Spider-Man 2. And speaking of like Marvel and films and stuff like that, Marvel Spider-Man 2, which came out in 2023... cost around £315 million to make just the one game, though. It's unbelievable.
It is. I mean, as I say, that's a lot of films use that budget to make a 2-3 hour film.
But I mean, you could spend all that kind of money on a project, sure, but it doesn't guarantee it's going to be the best.
Mm.
Quality film, and that means like Indiana Jones. And I mean, I was so disappointed with the last film. And I mean, it just didn't feel like Indiana Jones to me. It was like they were basically sidelining Indiana Jones for somebody else, and it was like she was going to take the lead in future films. And that's not what you want to see. You want to see Indiana Jones on his last. I mean, I know he's in his 80s and stuff like that, and you've got to set a story around his timeline being in the 80s and stuff. But, I don't know, I mean, I might be wrong, I didn't think it was as good as...
it's not the ending that the character and the actor deserve. I mean, for 42 years, that's a long time for a film character to still actively be in films, but it's not the ending that he deserves.
And I think, to be honest, the ending that he deserves was The Last Crusade, when he rode off into the sunset.
I mean, that was a perfect ending.
It was. It didn't need another film. I mean, it's like Back to the Future Part 3. People were saying that it was Back to the Future Part 4. Why? You don't need it. You've got, a lot of people are saying that they either want a remake or a sequel.
Doesn't need it.
It doesn't need it. No. It doesn't need it.
I rewatched them the other day, Back to the Future, all three of them, and they still stand up today, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't need that extra one, I think, just leave it at that.
I mean, they're remaking another our old Schwarzenegger classic, and that's The Running Man. It's with an actor, what's his name? Is it Glenn Powell, I think his name is. Who was in Top Gun. And Twisters. I think it's Glenn Powell. And the remaking, The Running Man. And from what I've seen, it's terrible. It's terrible compared to the originals. And, I think we need to start with the classic films. If it's classic, if a stand up, don't touch.
Yeah,
because you're never going to be better for it. You're never going to. You might have got today's technology and stuff like that, but it doesn't always hold up.
I think just leave it keep it clean. Leave it untouched. Just look after it. But we are coming to the end of the show, unfortunately.
It's flawed. It always
flawed. But we've had some good talks, and we've had a great interview and some great music. But before we end the show, we're going to do the usual thing at the end. Chris, how can you get in touch and sit around this table with us in the studio and talk about stuff we've talked about and listen to some great music? How can you get in touch?
Well, if you are interested in either presenting or producing or whatever role you want to do, you can sit in the studio with us and have a nice chat like we always do, or you can take a back seat and produce our news stories for us. It's entirely up to you. We are currently looking for presenters and producers, so if you're interested in helping out, we have our very own Facebook page at Communities Live. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website, or you can email me at chrisanally89@gmail.com. Again, you can get in touch with us on our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website, or you can get in touch with us at chrisanally89@gmail.com by my email. Oliver, it's been a pleasure.
Always.
And Bradley, it's been good seeing you as well. So
thank you. Always enjoy it. Yeah.
So will you be here next week?
Next Thursday, yes, I'll be here.
I won't be here next week.
You won't be here next Thursday, so I'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
And I'll see you next week. So it's goodbye from Chris and I.
Goodbye from Oliver Dixon.
Goodbye from Bradley Middleton.
And we're going to leave you with this classic song by George Harrison.